is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang. At Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill, and we're very pleased to welcome our colleague Nuri Turkel, Commissioner at the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom, to help us with a story that continues to be non-transparent, but at the same time, rich with possibilities. This is the upcoming Winter Olympics to be held in Beijing within these next months. Reuters, veteran Olympians for the United States denounced China's track record on human rights this week, but stopped short of endorsing a boycott of Beijing 2022 with the Winter Games quickly approaching. Rights groups and U.S. lawmakers have called on the International Olympic Committee, IOC, to postpone the Games and relocate the events unless China ends what the United States calls an ongoing genocide against Uyghurs and other Muslim minority groups. The U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee said within these hours it would prioritize educating its athletes on global issues ahead of the Games. Nuri, you've worked on this story very carefully. Where are we in this process? Education. There are months left. Can education lead to a change of direction, to a confrontation with Beijing's human rights violations? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Gordon. It is mind-boggling that the international community appeared to be in a situation that the lessons has not been learned. It is obvious that Communist China is trying to use the game next year to whitewash the Uyghur genocide. And also they wanted to normalize this kind of behaviors. The similar thing happened in 1936 when Hitler was given this kind of a similar type of opportunity. The parallels are striking. The Hitler also was building concentration camps when he was holding the Summer Olympics. He was forced sterilizing Jewish women. Same thing is happening in China. Forced labor is in practice. Same thing as China. And also something unique about this is that the international community, especially the business community, has not really understand, appreciate the problem that they're in. Just yesterday, there was a news that the Chinese government is pressing the Western businesses to expand the use of e-currency before the Olympics. So essentially, over 270 McDonald's stores agreed to add digital renminbi wallets, and they're also doing to the other businesses. So, you know, as the official sponsor, companies like Visa, the Nike official sponsor for the U.S. team, they both seem to be kind of complying with the China's request. However, that request may be even unreasonable one. And we have just 4 months left before the game starts. I have not heard a single government around the world that makes at least pledge that there will be a diplomatic boycott.
Gordon, you have a question for Nuri.
Nuri, people say that there shouldn't be a boycott of the Winter Olympics because that would disadvantage athletes. But we've got to remember that the International Olympic Committee banned the participation of South Africa in the Games, starting with the 1964 Tokyo Olympics, because a significant portion of the South African population was not permitted to engage in sport. Well, in China, where the practices are worse than apartheid, we have Beijing stopping, for instance, Tibetans, Uyghurs, and Kazakhs from participating in sport. It would seem to me that we should be helping Olympians, potential Olympians, and that means China should not be allowed to participate in Olympic competition until they permit their populations to participate. Your comments.
Yes, that's a great question. The unfair to Olympians, athletes is one of the common pushback that we're getting from the governments and the International Olympic Committee, U.S. Olympic Committee. But they should also be reminded that it's unfair for the U.S. athletes or international athletes to compete in this game, these games, in the backdrop of concentration camps and the ongoing genocide. So speaking of unfairness, I think that's unconscionable to put the athletes in such a difficult situation. And I can also expect the Chinese retaliate against athletes who happen to be criticizing the Chinese government for the ongoing human rights abuses committed against various ethnic groups and religious minorities in China. So the notion that it will be unfair to the athletes actually does not hold the water and does not make any sense. So we have not learned the lessons. This is not that difficult. The international community had enough time at least to tell the Chinese to postpone it, just like the way that the Summer Olympics were postponed in Japan because of the pandemic. We need to figure something out, how to deal with the China. I don't think that the international community, especially the policymakers around the world, sitting in a position of making policy, have influence over making a policy-making process, have figured out what to do with it. Well, either they know what to do with it, don't have the willingness to do it.
Nuri, the 2008 Olympics is vivid in my memory, because the PRC at that time, pushing itself forward as a peaceful rise, used those Olympics to anchor its introduction to the world that it's just like everyone else, that it deserves its place in the sun. At the same time, we knew that the PRC was persecuting Tibet. Did that experience for the PRC tell them that they can get away with this again? Do they believe they can use the Winter Olympics to promote themselves without a downside of revelations of their abuse of the Uyghurs?
There's no doubt, no question that 2008 Summer Olympics was one of the most potent weapons in China's Communist Party's propaganda arsenal, and it's working. And instead of them changing their behavior, they're trying to change, actually to the extent has changed look, there's a lot of apologists still out there. Try to normalize the CCP. Try to normalize the Xi Jinping regime. Trying to whitewash the ongoing genocide, the upending of Hong Kong democracy, continued daily threat against Taiwan. So this is on us now. This is on us to ask ourselves a very simple question: what kind of world do we want? What kind of future do we want for our children? This is to me on a personal level quite simple. We have this threat, not looming threat, present threat by CCP that we have to address in multiple fronts.
Gordon, we have a minute left.
Nuri, what can the average American do to try to pressure the International Olympic Committee to defer the games or whatever else needs to be done?
One of the most effective things that the American consumers could do is to pressure the businesses. The both Trump administration and Biden administration issued business advisory, putting on notice these companies have a legal, reputational, and investment risk if the status quo is continued. And now that the Chinese government using these businesses against our government in the executive and legislative branch, there's a bill in the U.S. Congress called the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act that has not been put on voting because from what we know, the business community is doing the dirty work of the CCP in Washington, lobbying the Congress. So if we can use the consumers to pressure the business community, I think they will be impactful.
Nuri Turkle. Nuri Turkle has been our guide on Uyghur matters for many years. He is now a commissioner at the United States Commission on International Religious Freedom. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.